My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
A perfect game for David Cone. The third time, works like a charm. It is the third perfect game in Yankee Stadium history. Don Larson in 56, David Wells in 98, David Cone in 99. 27 up, 27 down. David Cone has attained baseball immortality.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
103 on this Thursday afternoon. Mark Melusis with you. In for BT and Sal. Floor's wide open. Mets, Yankees, great show. Figgy joining us, John Heyman. A lot of baseball conversation. Mets get going with the Marlins tomorrow night. Yankees get going with the Rays at the Bronx in the stadium. We're going to get Mets-Yankees early next week. Mr. Pink Guy, Dove Kramer, and you got Pete Hoffman across the way. Other side at the controls. Bayonne we go. Kick it off at 1 o'clock hour. It's John. It's the fan. What's going on, Johnny?
I'm glad.
All right, so I'll take the money.
What's John doing
right
now?
Still moves.
Yeah, John, where are you? Can I ask you? Like, are you ordering a sandwich?
Moose.
Yes, John.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, that guy was crazy saying it's all right for the Yankees to come in 500 and above. I'm a Yankee fan, diehard, signed by the years. We got to come home with the trophies. I don't want to hear about division championship. I don't want to hear about second place and they got a parade. You made a good point. They don't have them parades. I never see that. There's a winner and there's a loser. This stuff, everybody gets a trophy. It's garbage. This is a new era. We got to go back to the old era. The old era is we got to bring home the trophy.
John, I agree with you, but that's all changed. So I feel like, you know, how many times can you scream at the clouds, right? It's all changed. So we're kind of playing off the Nestor Cortez tweet or message on X, reacting to Ortiz poking fun at the Yankees. Team is 8-18 in the last 26. He's happy to contend and be in contention at the end each and every year. I mean, that's the mindset right now. From one player. Not all. I mean, the Yankees, I'm just telling you, that's the mindset. And Connolly, that's been sort of the messaging from when you look at Cashman on down. But, John, just before we continue the conversation on the Yankees, are you at a deli right now? Where are you?
I'm at my friend's pizzeria. It's good. It's in Cranford. The Solomé is excellent. The food's excellent here.
Does he make a nice make a nice penne vodka pie, like with more penne vodka sauce with margarita vodka pizza?
Yeah, he does that. He does a great. You like seafood? It's a piccata seafood. Oh my god, mussels, shrimp, calamari, and a great marinara sauce. Yeah, the food's excellent here. I used to have a similar restaurant up in Warren, and I'll tell you right now, you don't got too many people owning an Italian restaurant no more, you know? It's like me saying I own a Chinese restaurant, but I'm not Chinese, so it's a crazy thing. But we'll get back to the Yankees, okay, when it comes down to it, okay?
Okay.
I want the trophy. I don't want to hear Cortezo with good tendon. I mean, the story with the best one is David Wells telling about Steinbrenner waiting near his locker, and threatening them. You know, that's baseball. That's the old Yankees. That's the way it should be. We're not here to get, we're second place. Happy we made second place. No, it doesn't work that way.
Well, those days are gone, John. I didn't pick up on the point. Well, I didn't pick up on the point he made at the end, but okay. I'm glad he makes good pizza.
I just was worried about the calzones. That's all I was wondering about.
Yeah, what's your favorite, what's your favorite type of calzone? I'm like a meatball calzone guy.
I could go with just a plain
cheese. Can't be overstuffed, though.
I could. I'm a cheesy guy.
Are you?
I'm a cheesy guy.
Really?
In the food sense, I'm a cheesy guy.
I got you. I understand. Or in every sense. No, just in a food sense. Who doesn't like a little cheese? We're good. Sue in Center Reach is up next to the fan. What's going on, Sue?
Mark, you know, the calzone has to be well done and like ham and cheese.
Oh, yes. That's another. I agree with you about the well done. I'm total agreement with you. But I like, there is, Full Moon in the Bronx, a great pizza place, right? They put a little cornmeal on their crust. Tremendous. They make a great meat calzone. Full Moon Pizzeria. It's fantastic. Right by the Bronx Zoo.
I'll keep that in mind. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it. No doubt.
My comment, I totally agree with you with the whole complacency is the word for the Yankees. And I think it's just a top-down thing. You know, like Hal last year couldn't understand why Yankee fans were upset with how they played. And, you know, Boone and Cashman got Boone because Girardi was too fiery. And I used to get so angry at Boone. But you know what? Like, what do you expect? I mean, that's kind of like how the new Yankees are. They don't want to make waves. They make the money. They make the playoffs. And complacent is the word. And maybe it's trickled down to how they play in the field.
Yeah,
you know, there's no urgency.
And Sue, I'll let you continue, Sue. I'm not going to cut you off, but I think it's a fair assessment. Listen, Boone works well with Cashman, so and that's fine. Yep. And if the whole idea is as long as we're there, as long as we put together a viable product, is an entertaining product on the field, and you can, you know, if we get ourselves into the postseason, that year's a success. But that's not what the Yankees used to be about. That's what's the frustrating angle from my vantage point.
So frustrating, and I agree with you 100%. That's not the Yankees I grew up with, you know, watching with my dad. And I just think, you know, maybe somebody, the way they are on the field is kind of trickled down, you know, that lack of urgency and fundamentals and kind of, you know, lackadaisical almost, you know, complacent. That's the word I got to say.
Yeah, and you've seen a little bit of that malaise this year. And maybe it is, you know, maybe it is complacency. Maybe it's a lack of accountability.
Yep.
It's tough when you see that tweet from Cortez and you're looking at a team that is 8-18 in their last 26. One of their pitchers has got rabbit ears. Then he's reacting to it. If you go out and look at the mentions underneath it, people are like, what are you reacting to? Because I don't know if necessarily, I didn't even see what the All-Star Game ratings were on Fox on Tuesday night. I don't know if they were particularly good. And then you get Cortez talking. I believe to a certain extent what Nestor had to say is right. I think, you know, he worked his rear end off. He earned a starting spot. He's done a nice job as a Yankee. They haven't won anything. But it's not a matter of everyone wants to be us. There was a time in Major League Baseball where if you were a Yankee fan that you could feel that way. That time is gone. I mean, that arrogance is gone. Because you know what came along with that arrogance? A lot of winning. You know what came along with that cockiness? A lot of winning. And the Yankees win a lot in the regular season. They haven't finished below 500. All the things that the Brian Cashman supporters come out and say. Great. But the Yankees have not gone out there and accomplished the ultimate goal in quite some time. A decade and a half. Yankees have not won a World Series in a decade and a half. That's a long time.
Well, when you have Hal saying, you know, I don't understand why Yankee fans are upset with how we're playing. It's like tone deaf.
Well, that is true. Sue, you're right. And then he understands the pushback from that and then wants to tell you, you know, how troubling it was and change is going to happen. And you're having the analytics department analyze the Yankees analytics and we go from there. Yeah. Now, those listening are going to say to themselves, well, I mean, look at this. Boo-hoo. You're a Yankee fan and you're complaining about where exactly in the direction of this Yankee team. It's more a case of the mindset of the team. And like I mentioned before, if the Yankees don't have the mindset come July 30th and the MLB trade deadline, well, then shame on them. Because it has got to be all in. This is, as we talked to Heyman, in the 12 o'clock hour, did a nice job. Everything you gave up for 1 year of certainty of Juan Soto, that's it. As Heyman so articulately say, Juan Soto is not going to be Jalen Brunson. He's not leaving $113 million on the table. He's looking, in essence, he's going out there looking to maximize his value. So he didn't really have an understanding about, you know, what being a Yankee meant to Juan Soto. And I'll tell you, I'm not going to tell you that he doesn't enjoy it, doesn't enjoy the roll calls, doesn't enjoy being a New York Yankee, but now's go time. Because I can't tell you one way or the other. You can say, well, they're a favorite, they've got a chance, they've had, you've seen Hal Steinbrenner out there publicly being flirtatious, saying that he wants to sign him during the course of the regular season. That's pie in the sky stuff. That's more for headlines than it is anything else, because the Juan Soto and Scott Boras are never going to go out there and not hit free agency. Boras basically takes everybody to free agency, and that's what's going to happen with Juan Soto. But because of that uncertainty with Soto, the Yankees, come July 30th at 6 o'clock, if there are impact players to be had, the Yankees got to be all in. Astoria we go. It's Lou. It's the Fan. What's going on, Lou?
Hey, Moose, how are you?
Lou, I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
Okay, how's the kids in there and the dog? How's the dog doing?
Yeah, Chip is Chip's feeling much better, significantly better. Oh, thank good. God we dropped him off at the vet. He stayed at the vet for about 7, 8, 9 hours. He's on probiotics. He's eating white rice, a little protein, and he's on a little medicine as well. So Chip, luckily enough, he's holding his food down. There's no diarrhea in the house. It was a long 5 days in the Malusis household. Now, as a teaching point, which, you know, Dove took me aside the other day and said, use this as a teaching point for your kids to emphasize the fact that the dog's days are numbered if you don't start taking care of the dog. Yeah, and I did that. I took Dove's advice. I love Dove. I've talked about that before. You know, that worked for maybe a day. And then they went back to just being what they've been. So my son Jackson helps, but Gregory and Paul, you know, I got a call walking in this morning. They're arguing over playing Super Mario Brothers this morning, and they're fighting with each other.
Chip's feeling a lot better. I just had one that passed away. I mean, I had one that just passed away. Jumped on my lap, and he just, the fan was running, and I thought that the hair was moving. I thought he was okay, but then he passed away. Right? I don't know.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's really, they become like a family, let me tell you. It was sad. But anyway.
No, I understand. Yes, I've lost two dogs in my life.
You'll see when everything goes well and the kids got older, and, you know, it's going to be part of the family. It's something that you come to the house and it's not a headache, you know? The kids have headaches, the family have headaches, but the dog is going to wait for you and jump all over you, okay? It's nothing better. But anyway, on Soto, let's say that Soto go back to the back of the baseball car. He 285, 85 homers. The guy doesn't steal no bases. He's a one-dimensional player. You should ask Heyman, how much money do you think this guy can get? I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, he's looking for $600 million. That's impossible. Another quick thing before I let you go. Otani. Otani had Tommy John's, okay? So we had two lefties with the Yankees, and Didi Gregorius and Dominguez.
Yes.
Why didn't they come back in DH? Because Otani's doing it. Is he a Superman or what? Your thought, you take care, right?
Well, I mean, Otani is, but, you know, Otani's not playing the field. So, I mean, there's a differentiation there. I mean, you could look at Dominguez was working his way back. You know, he had Tommy John surgery, obviously, with his throwing arm, but you were not going to go and make Didi Gregorius. He's not the impact bat that Shohei Ohtani is. And I think you're thinking long-term protecting the asset with Jason Dominguez. Now, the problem with Dominguez is, you know, last month he suffered a significant oblique injury that when he was diagnosed at the time, the timetable for his return to baseball activities was 2 months. So if you look at June 23rd, I believe, is the date that he suffered that injury, then you're looking at August 23rd as a potential return. That's why Heyman speculated that in all likelihood, and others have done it as well, that Jason Dominguez is going to be done for the year. Let's head out to Ron Konkema. It's Chris. It's the fan. What's going on, Chris?
Hey, Moose, how you doing? You've been talking about calzones and George Steinbrenner a lot, so I have an impression from Seinfeld and a calzone, you know, episode. You ever see George Steinbrenner on Seinfeld?
Yes, I see. Yes, I don't have the great recall of Seinfeld, though, okay, like Rich Ackerman does here. There's others that have tremendous recall about episodes of Seinfeld.
Maybe you can remember this. Ready? Yeah, are you ready?
Ahead. Yes.
Okay, ready. Here it goes. I smell a calzone!
I do remember that. Yes, I do remember that. When George was working for the Yankees, yes.
And he went to the Bronx. Maybe that's the same spot that you were talking about in the Bronx for the calzones.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Seinfeld was great, fantastic, no doubt. I remember George's working for the Yankees. That was a great kind of time for that series as well.
Larry David was actually George Steinbrenner in that.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Is that true?
Yes, he played George Steinbrenner throughout that series.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. He did Steinbrenner's voice, and he got permission for Steinbrenner to do it. And the one time Steinbrenner was supposed to be on, Larry David said he had to cut Steinbrenner from the episode. And he called him up, and Larry David said, "Ask George, we have to cut you from the episode." He goes, "Well, what do you want to tell me? I got bad news." And he goes, and George Steinbrenner says, "You can tell me, Larry. I'm a big boy." And Larry said, We got to cut you from the episode. And he cut him from the episode. It was hilarious. Larry David said it.
Chris, great. I learned a little something. I appreciate it, Chris.
You
got it. I had no idea. It makes sense now. You put two and two together. What do we got, Hoff?
We have an alert from the Mets. Press release.
Oh, press release from the Mets.
They announced their 2025 schedule. But there's a couple interesting dates on here.
All right, let's hear.
So when do you think there's two? The Subway Series is booked. They start May 16th, May 18th. That's going to be in the Bronx.
May 16th and 18th?
Yeah, Friday, May 16th to May 18th. So that's a three-game series.
Okay.
Then 4th of July, Friday, 4th of July to Sunday, July 6th. That will be when the Yankees take on the Mets in Citi Field.
Well, it's great that they're playing on the 4th of July. I just don't know if I love that series on the 4th of July.
Yeah, it's kind of like you can save that.
Yeah, I would save that. I mean, the Yankees played the Reds this year on the 4th of July. Like, I would save that. I would not have that on the 4th of July.
Yeah,
that's... I'd move that to where it's someplace. But it's so... It's May 16th, 17th, 18th, Yankee Stadium, 4th of July, 4th, 5th, 6th at Citi Field.
Yeah. And it's six games total rather than four this year. Why the change?
So 4th of July next year falls on what day?
A Friday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
It's going to be a very empty weekend, maybe. That's why. People will be going to Jersey.
Yeah. Let me ask you, are they playing on Memorial Day?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day?
And they are playing Memorial Day, yes. Chicago White Sox.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know where that is, though.
All right, so Subway Series next year, if you're marking on the calendar, May 16th, 17th, 18th, July 4th, 5th, 6th. Don't love it, Billane. Don't love Mets Yankees on the 4th of July. Get it, add to it, but don't love it. Don't love it. What time's that game on that Friday?
I would assume it's like 7 o'clock. It's a Friday game. They don't normally do day games here, so I'm assuming 7 or 8 o'clock.
You would start that game at 7 o'clock.
Well, the other option is if it's a freaking Apple game, they make them 8 o'clock, don't they?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm just thinking about the fireworks, the barbecue. Have that in the afternoon game. You're sitting there on the beach pool, listening to little Mets Yankees.
I could do that. I don't think they will.
No, they probably will. You got to pack the house regardless, right? It's Mets Yankees. It's the 4th of July.
It's fireworks.
Yeah, I guess so. Right, but there's only one fireworks show. This year was on the west side. Maybe next year is on the east side, but it's only in the Macy's fireworks. 120. Melusis with you. 888-808-1019. Back with your call.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Like
I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Calls in morning.
Talk New York sports with us. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Call of the day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
All right, today's call of the day is brought to you by Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Ivan, Houston. Oh, Ivan, you're back. What's going on, brother? How are you?
First, I want to say with the Soto that I think the Yankees have like about $100 million coming off the books next year.
Yes.
So there's no reason why they can't sign Soto. If they don't sign Soto, it's because he doesn't want to sign him. That's the way I look at that. What I will say, I get what you're saying a little bit. Like I'm saying, I get that they haven't won. How come they're the only team that gets this? They're the only team in New York that's given us something to watch every year for the last 30 years.
Ivan, I'm not telling you that they've bottomed out. I agree with you. But it's been frustrating when it's different. I understand that they've given you something to watch, but the amount of money that has been spent, and let's be honest, some of the evaluations they've made on players,
I want to argue that.
Well, okay. I mean, what's to argue? Yeah. They haven't spent a lot of money on payroll?
Well, I'm going to say, but hold on. So let's do a comparison real quick, right? You said with the money they spend, they're expected to win the division or make the playoffs, right?
Well, you spent $313. If I spent $313 million, if Hal Steinbrenner goes today, I'm going to issue a statement. Mark Malusis is the GM of the Yankees, right? And that's not happening. But if that ever happened, and you give me the expenditure of $300 million to spend on a payroll, I think I could build a team that would be a contender. I mean, that's basically it. I mean, we could get into, and I understand, and listen, Ivan's greater point earlier on was that the Mets don't get the same vitriol, the same anger as the Yankees do, but that's the point. Like, the Yankees are not supposed to be the Mets. The Yankees are not supposed to be the Dodgers. The Yankees are not supposed to be the Astros. They're a brand above and beyond their own. I mean, that's it. That's at least what you were sold on early on as a Yankee fan. When you first stepped into the old ballpark in the Bronx and saw the beautiful grass field and felt the history of the stadium, felt the history of the organization, the history of the team, it is different to be a Yankee fan. Now, that bothers a lot of people, right? Leads it to the, you know, the tweet from Nestor Cortez, which we spent a lot of time on today, about, you know, everyone wants to be us. Well, that was a case at one point in time when the Yankees were a dominant force in Major League Baseball. But then how do you define dominant? Do you find dominant the fact that you are above 500 every year? And the Yankees have been better than that, that you're a playoff team, contending team, that you have a shot at it? Or is it domination when you win it? When you're treating teams like the Astros treat you. Manasquan, we go. It's Frank. It's the fan. What's going on, Frank?
Hey, what's up, Mark? I just wanted to chime in on that whole topic about coming in second place is okay. Years ago, the passion at the end of the season to come into first was off the charts. It used to be, you know, Kansas City and Boston and Baltimore, and since they instituted the wild card, I think the satisfaction of coming in second place is just consuming these teams. I think it's just, yeah, it's okay. Second place is okay. Just wanted you to get your comments on that.
Well, I think Major League Baseball did something smart because you have teams. I mean, think about this, right? The Yankees, who we've talked about, they spent $360 million on payroll this year. Let's look at some other expenditures for teams. The Tigers, their payroll this year is $1.18. The Pirates is $1.20. The Orioles, who are a really good team, you know what their payroll right now is? $116 million plus. The Athletics payroll is $84 million. The Rays are $100 million. So people are going to look at it and say, well, I mean, how could you complain? The Yankees are spending, you know, and their payroll is at $316. I said $313 to Ivan. It's at $360 million plus right now. Yeah, the Yankees have spent a lot of money. I think what Manfred wanted to do, and rightfully so, he wanted to bring more cities into the chase, right? And put more of an emphasis on trying to win that division. Make no bones about it. I don't think the Yankees are opening up the second half tomorrow night against the Tampa Bay Rays and saying to themselves, yeah, we'll take second. You know, if we don't win the division, so be it. I think they're going to try and win the American League East. I think that's the goal, right? You want to go out there and win the division. Makes the pathway significantly. It makes the pathway easier, right? You're rewarded for going out there and winning the division. It just has to look a hell of a lot better, and this team needs to be reinforced. It does.
I just wish they had that passion back, you know.
Yeah, well, you wish when you were getting the quotes which would kind of make the hair on the back of your neck stand up from Derek Jeter. If we don't win a World Series, the year's a failure.
Exactly.
That's, yes. I mean, that's, you know, throwing red meat out there, right? That is. And Jeter was never a guy that he always never ruffled any feathers, gave you, you know, the classic line was the Jeterian quote, would say something but wouldn't really say anything. Like, that was classic Derek Jeter. And he would tow the company, and that was it, right? And that's the way that he kind of went about his business. That's the way that's the mantra that he believed in. And I don't think that mantra is really there anymore. Greenlawn, we go. It's Rob. It's the fan. What's going on, Rob?
Hey, Moose. Great job. Thank you for helping us get through two of these most boring sports days of the entire year. You're doing a great job.
So I appreciate that, Rob. Thank you, brother.
All right. So anyway, low amount of sports going on these 2 days. So just wanted to bring this up to you. I haven't missed John Sterling at all. And I just wanted your mid-year assessment on these two young guys, Babare and Shackle, who have come in and are trying to fill Sterling's shoes. I, for one, have found it very refreshing. I'm loving it. I think they're doing a great job. You know, I think Shackle's about 30 years old. Emmanuel's about 25 years old. How great would it be for this to be the next 40, 50 years of Yankee baseball? I know I'm kind of done with Susan. I mean, I think she should have probably, it would have been nice if her and John could have went together. But, you know, I haven't heard one person call the fan and say, oh, my God, I miss Sterling. What the, you know, these kids are doing a phenomenal, phenomenal job. And I, for one, just wanted to know how you thought they were doing. And while you're at it, why hit the Met booth as well with Rad and McCarthy, the two young kids. They're doing a phenomenal job as well. For someone who spends a lot of time listening to baseball on the radio, in the car a lot, I just, you know, it's been a great summer listening to these kids call these games.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, first off, it's John is a legend. Let's just call it like it is, right? He's a legendary broadcaster. The personality that he brought to the table eventually, that came out of the home run calls, and John, you know, obviously thought it was just time to step aside. I think Emmanuel and Justin, I don't think you're going to, you know, it's not a case of anyone's going to call up or anybody on these airwaves are going to go, I miss Sterling inherently night in and night out. Because then it's a knock on the individuals that are doing it. But I think Emmanuel's done a marvelous job. Justin's done a great job. They're both great guys. I think Ricky's, when he's got an opportunity, has done a very good job as well. I don't know where the Yankees are going to go in terms of their play-by-play booth following this season after the year. But you give, and obviously Justin and Emmanuel, who don't have the same amount of experience because Ricky has been the Spanish broadcaster not only for the Yankees but the Philadelphia Eagles, and you go from, you know, a part-time role to now calling a majority of the games and you get put into that spot, I think both of them have done really, really well. I think it's an enjoyable listen. I think what as and I've never done it, but as a listener, regardless of sport, what you want to do is make sure you take care of your audience, have a vast understanding of what is going on, being able to kind of paint that word picture. And I think they've both done a great job. And you know, I don't know where it falls at the end of the season. I have no idea. I really don't.
Right.
I don't know what the Yankees are going to do following this year. I understand, you know, WFAN, Chris Oliveira, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be at that table making that decision. I don't know where it goes, but I think Emmanuel and Justin have done a remarkable, very, very good job of taking care of the Yankee fan.
Right. Do you think the Yankees or WFAN should at this point really, because I kind of feel like these two kids are just trying out every single night, and I don't think they're going to be able to develop that personality that John had and Susan has until they're comfortable enough to know, hey, look, kiddo, the job is yours. Go get it. I kind of feel like every night, you know, they're not going to make the crazy home run call. They're just going to call it like it is. I feel like they're not going to be able to develop their own real personality.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, Sterling didn't come out with the home run calls right away. I mean, that wasn't
right.
So, yeah, it takes time. And, yes, I'm sure when you're on the microphone, you're afraid to make a mistake. You understand that people are listening. You understand. But I think it's more kind of the big picture, looking at the sound, the overall quality of it and how it. But, yes, I agree that you would have to be. I think it would be only natural to think that you'd be a little bit nervous night in and night out because you don't want to make a mistake. You want to make something that gets called out. You want to make sure. But the personality, you need to be aggressive. And both men have an unbelievable opportunity here. And I don't know if either one of them are going to get the job. We'll see. But both men have a remarkable young opportunity at a very, very young age to step into that booth. I disagree with you about Susan. I think she's great. She understands the Yankee fan. She understands the Yankee organization. She has not lost anything on her fastball. I don't think there's anything that you have to look at and see that Susan needs to step away from the booth. You know, I've known Susan for a long time. She does a great job covering the Yankees, game in and game out. And she has a great feel about what's going on in that clubhouse and what's going on in that locker room and deciphering that information and giving you, the fan, that information. So she's remarkable and has had obviously a Hall of Fame career and is a deserved Hall of Famer. We'll see exactly who the long-term answer at play-by-play ends up being for the Yankees.
Gotcha. Well, thanks for the call, Moose. Great job.
You got it, Rob. Appreciate it, buddy. Let's head out to Clifton Park. It's Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Moose. How are you?
I'm doing well, Mike.
Good, good. So I'm a Mets fan, but I want to chime in on Cashman. You know, so I would say, you know, his failings has definitely been the farm system and the lack of talent coming through, especially the last decade or so. And I think that's probably why they only go so far every year and they're not in the World Series. However, that being said, Hal Steinbrenner must love this guy because, you know, the seats are full in the stadium. They're in the playoffs almost every year. So he's probably making him a ton of money. And honestly, I think Cashman is going to stay until Cashman stops bringing in the money. So that's my thought on it.
Well, it's going to be difficult to do. Yeah, I think he's comfortable. We've said it. And I think it's fair. He knows what Brian Cashman is. He knows what he's going to get. You go out there and make a change, then it's the great unknown. The old cliche, the devil you know is the better than the devil that you don't, right? You have a no under. You might decide that it's time for a change. What exactly does that look like? How does it play out? If it doesn't equate to wins and losses, because everything you said is correct. The Yankees and Yankee fans that call up and talk about they haven't bottomed out. They've been watchable. They've been, this year, for the most part, outside the last 26 games, they've been an exciting brand of baseball. Last year was an absolute bore fest. But, you know, even think about this. Last year, the team went 82-80, and they made north of they generated north of $600 million in revenue. I mean, it's insane. I mean, it really is. Steinbrenner's comfortable with Cashman. He is. Cashman, outside of Hal addressing the media on a couple of occasions, I know he did the Curry podcast, but you know, Cashman has not only become the head of the player personnel department, which he's had that job for quite some time, and a long tenured general manager in Major League Baseball, but in essence, he has become the voice of the Bombers as well. It's remarkable, the career that Brian Cashman has had. And he's been able to withstand a lot. And been able to adjust. And that's where I'll give him credit. But here's the message to Cash now this year. You made the gargantuan trade to go get Soto during the course of the offseason and bringing him from the San Diego Padres. You had 1 year of control. We are now at the all-star break of that year. Your team has 58 wins on the season. We are sitting here. It is Thursday, July 18th. We are 12 days away from the MLB trade deadline, which is 6 o'clock on July the 30th. Go be aggressive. Go be aggressive.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I don't know if you caught this, but you know what put a smile on my face? Dennis Scott, right? He does, I believe, Pelican games, right? This is the summer league. Tyler Kolek's having a nice summer league for the New York Knicks. And like we talked about, I mentioned at the time, I think I tweeted about it as well. Patino was all over it, thinking that he was going to be a great NBA player coming out of Marquette, second-round pick. He's going to be really, really good for the New York Knicks. But Dennis Scott, if you don't remember playing the NBA, I think he played, I don't know how many games he was a Knick, maybe like 18 or something like that, but was down at Georgia Tech, was a great college player. Down at Georgia Tech with Kenny Anderson, Brian Oliver, I think, for Bobby Kremins. Dennis Scott now doing Pelicans games. Said this about Jalen Brunson. And his decision, and this put a smile on the face. Love this quote, right? Said he ran into Rick, said, happy for you and Jalen. This is quote, raised a great son. You messed up the game. I love the fact you want to win and you are all into it. I think it's great. He also went on to say, you understand if you want your money, and this is for everybody else in the NBA, nobody's going to fault you. But don't get mad when your team doesn't have the depth in order to compete for a championship. You can't have both. Listen, and he said basically Jalen's different. And he is. I mean, he is. Listen, we mentioned it at the time when that news came down last Friday, about 6 days ago, that Brunson was signing that four-year, $157 million contract extension. You know, how it and his 2 years here in New York, you couldn't have a better 2 years coming to a city as an NBA free agent or as a free agent regardless of sport than Jalen Brunson has had. The instrument of change that he has been, the culture that he has led, the shift, the winning, now the expectations, and now with And listen, Dennis Scott, he's not wrong. He's going to put pressure. Jalen Brunson's decision, and they were talking about Ingram down in New Orleans with the Pelicans. Jalen Brunson's decision is now going to put, you know, pressure on other free agents or other guys who are looking for extensions and potentially organizations using this as an example, because what Brunson did was really never done before. And nobody would have faulted. I mean, if Jalen Brunson was like, next year, I'm going to wait. I'm going to sign the five-year, $270 million extension. I'm going to gamble on me. I'm going to stay healthy. We're going to have another wonderful season. I am that guy. I am him. You know, nobody would have faulted Jalen Brunson. And yeah, right. Knick fans still would have celebrated because they love watching Jalen Brunson play basketball. But it also sent a message around the league, and that's what Dennis Scott was insinuating to other guys around the league, because what he did, being as unprecedented as it is, who's the next guy around the league when they're up for a contract extension that is willing to take less in order to help the team? To try and help them win. Brunson's always been defined by winning. Was it Villanova? Has been in his 2 years here in New York with the Knicks, and he lives it. And that was the message that was sent down on Friday when he decided to take now instead of waiting to get more. I don't know if he's in an Uber or what he's going on or who he's visiting. I have no idea what's going on in Eli. But clearly he's not paying attention. Clearly we're not on speakerphone. Clearly I would imagine his cell phone is basically sitting on the seat as he was waiting on hold there. I think he might have cursed too. I think there might have been some cursing in the background.
Maybe twice.
Is that right?
I think at least twice.
Hoff, you've been telling me about this all morning long, or throughout the course of the midday, that we have a new food entity out in Kansas City for the Royals.
I'm very excited about it.
Oh, you're very excited?
Yeah, this could be like the mecca of food.
The mecca of food. All right, yeah. Run it down. Nobody likes ballpark food more than Pete Hoffman. Give me the feel about what exactly. You go out to a Royals game this year. You're watching Seth Lugo do his thing. You're watching Bobby Witt Jr. What exactly am I now going to be able to take in second half of
it's
the season?
It's going to be a hot dog.
A hot dog. Good start.
Wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla, topped with barbecue brisket, fries, lettuce, pickled onion, sriracha Cracker Jacks, which I don't even know. I've never had those before. And barbecue sauce.
Wait. It's a hot dog wrapped in a
cheeseburger quesadilla.
Right.
Topped with barbecue brisket.
Yeah.
So it's a hot dog quesadilla, barbecue brisket, fries, lettuce, pickled onion, sriracha Cracker Jacks, and barbecue sauce.
Wow.
You know what it's called?
No. Heart attack?
I don't think it's trademarked already.
It's called the taste of
K taco.
The taste of K taco. All right. That sounds indulgent. Doesn't sound appetizing when I'm sitting there. It sounds very messy for ballpark food. I'm a simple man. Give me a hot dog. Give me a pretzel. I mean, maybe I'll have like a little steak sandwich. I don't need sushi while I'm watching the Yankees or going out to the Mets or whatever. I also don't need it to be a sloppy mess. Imagine eating that thing on like a 95-degree day, what that would look like. Get the napkins out. By the way, Hoff, can you get Marash in here for a second? Because I've got a bone to pick with him. I'm in the car after the show yesterday, driving over to WPIX, and I hear Marash basically say something on the air that is completely not true. So, Sean, I texted you about this yesterday, so I got to call you out on this because this is complete and utter nonsense.
What happened?
Well, what happened was, correct me if I'm wrong, yesterday I'm walking through the WFAN newsroom in the 1 o'clock hour.
Uh-huh.
Somebody is eating a Wendy's Frosty, a triple berry Wendy's Frosty, and hands me one.
Yeah. Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Wendy's.
Now, was that Tommy Lugauer, or was that Sean Moresh?
It was Sean Moresh.
All right, so it was Sean.
Mean, by the way.
Okay, yes. Right, correct. Now, yesterday, when you're doing the wonderful job you were doing with Tiki through the afternoon, did I not hear you say that you don't eat ice cream during the week?
I've given up ice cream and desserts Monday through Friday as part of my dietary plan.
Yeah, but yesterday you were eating ice cream, and yesterday was Wednesday.
Technically, I was eating a Frosty.
That is ice cream.
Well, I mean, it's unknown. It was
delicious. It was delicious.
When you go to Wendy's,
you handed it to me. It was awesome.
It was great.
Amazing. It was absolutely fantastic. I love ice cream. I do.
Moose.
But that was a flat-footed lie. And I texted you on it.
I did a show 2 weeks ago where you basically needed an intervention about how much you loved ice cream.
I agree with you. You handed it to me. I was like, no. And then I was like, okay.
And our wonderful sales team hands me a secondary Frosty. I could have given that to anybody. And who did I think of?
You thought of me.
And I thought that was going to be on the DL from your wife. And you exposed me?
No, I do. Because you know what? I texted you. And you know what? You have to be honest and open with the audience out there.
No, I don't.
You're telling people you don't eat ice cream during the week when, in fact, I watched you take in and inhale a Frosty yesterday afternoon, and it was a Wednesday.
I was being nice to our sponsor, and it was a great Frosty. And I thought about this long and hard. And the truth is, have you ever gone into Wendy's and said, give me an ice cream?
No.
You say what?
Give me a Frosty.
Yes. So I didn't have ice cream. I had a Frosty. It's unidentifiable milky mush. And it's delicious. So I still kept my streak alive of no ice cream. Now, I might have also missed a softie at Citi Field last night. But
did you really?
I did.
Who was at Citi Field?
The Foo Fighters for about 45 minutes before they bagged it after a storm.
Oh, it was nasty.
Oh, it got nasty, yeah. But, you know, that home run apple still sells.
Now, what happens there? Do you get your money back on that?
Oh, there's a major controversy today, Moose. No. Basically, yeah, you know what?
You had 45 minutes of the Foo Fighters.
It was
an hour, Lightning.
But we had like 8 songs left. Lightning, they never came back on. And essentially, whatever you spent, parking ticket, you're screwed. You're lucky that you got My Hero played.
Wow.
Not a good job.
That's a long night.
More on that at 4 p.m. Eastern today.
Oh, there
on
you go.
Tiki.
Very nice. Did they play the music on the way out?
For them?
Yeah.
No, it was they made everybody stick around for 45 minutes and then canceled.
Now, let me ask Pete and Dove. Did Sean yesterday afternoon, did he technically eat ice cream or no? Dove?
Yes, he ate ice cream.
I ate a Frosty.
Pete is a Frosty.
I like Sean a lot. I want to be on his side.
And
but he did eat it.
And triple berry mousse. It's a fruit serving.
It's delicious. Oh,
yes.
There you go. It's
healthy.
Delicious, by the way.
Healthy.
Sean, thank you for looking out.
Thanks, Moose.
I appreciate
we'll
it.
We'll see you tomorrow.
You got it. Dove, great job. Hoff, fantastic across the way. You guys on the calls as well. To John Heyman, Nelson Figueroa for joining the program. Have yourself a wonderful Thursday. Enjoy it. Marash, Tiki, they come your way next. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 10 right here, The Fan in New York. Hey, from the MLB trade deadline, which is 6 o'clock on July the 30th. Go be aggressive. Go be aggressive.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
It'll be a 1-1 to Judge. The pitch swung on and hit. Deep center field. Trout on the run. Aaron Judge, number 50.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
I don't know if you caught this, but you know what put a smile on my face? Dennis Scott, right? He does, I believe, Pelican games, right? This is the summer league. Tyler Kolek's having a nice summer league for the New York Knicks. And like we talked about, I mentioned at the time, I think I tweeted about it as well. Patino was all over it, thinking that he was going to be a great NBA player coming out of Marquette, second-round pick. He's going to be really, really good for the New York Knicks. But Dennis Scott, if you don't remember playing the NBA, I think he played, I don't know how many games he was a Knick, maybe like 18 or something like that, but was down at Georgia Tech, was a great college player. Down at Georgia Tech with Kenny Anderson, Brian Oliver, I think, for Bobby Kremins. Dennis Scott now doing Pelicans games. Said this about Jalen Brunson. And his decision, and this put a smile on the face. Love this quote, right? Said he ran into Rick, said, happy for you and Jalen. This is quote, raised a great son. You messed up the game. I love the fact you want to win and you are all into it. I think it's great. He also went on to say, you understand if you want your money, and this is for everybody else in the NBA, nobody's going to fault you. But don't get mad when your team doesn't have the depth in order to compete for a championship. You can't have both. Listen, and he said basically Jalen's different. And he is. I mean, he is. Listen, we mentioned it at the time when that news came down last Friday, about 6 days ago, that Brunson was signing that four-year, $156.5 million contract extension. You know, how it, and his 2 years here in New York, you couldn't have a better 2 years coming to a city as an NBA free agent or as a free agent regardless of sport than Jalen Brunson has had. The instrument of change that he has been, the culture that he has led, the shift, the winning, now the expectations, and now with the and listen, Dennis Scott, he's not wrong. He's going to put pressure. Jalen Brunson's decision, and they were talking about Ingram down in New Orleans with the Pelicans. Jalen Brunson's decision is now going to put, you know, pressure on other free agents or other guys who are looking for extensions and potentially organizations using this as an example, because what Brunson did was really never done before. And nobody would have faulted. I mean, if Jalen Brunson was like, next year, I'm going to wait. I'm going to sign the five-year, $270 million extension. I'm going to gamble on me. I'm going to stay healthy. We're going to have another wonderful season. I am that guy. I am him. You know, nobody would have faulted Jalen Brunson. And yeah, right. Knicks fans still would have celebrated because they love watching Jalen Brunson play basketball. But it also sent a message around the league, and that's what Dennis Scott was insinuating to other guys around the league, because what he did, being as unprecedented as it is, who's the next guy around the league when they're up for a contract extension that is willing to take less in order to help the team? To try and help them win. Brunson's always been defined by winning. Was it Villanova? Has been in his 2 years here in New York with the Knicks, and he lives it. And that was the message that was sent down on Friday when he decided to take now instead of waiting to get more. I don't know if he's in an Uber or what he's going on or who he's visiting. I have no idea what's going on in Eli. But clearly he's not paying attention. Clearly we're not on speakerphone. Clearly I would imagine his cell phone is basically sitting on the seat as he was waiting on hold there. I think he might have cursed too. I think there might have been some cursing in the background.
Maybe twice.
Is that right?
I think at least twice.
Hoff, you've been telling me about this all morning long or throughout the course of the midday, that we have a new food entity out in Kansas City for the Royals.
I'm very excited about it.
Oh, you're very excited?
Yeah. This could be like the mecca of food.
The mecca of food. All right, yeah. Run it down. Nobody likes ballpark food more than Pete Hoffman. Give me the feel about what exactly. You go out to a Royals game this year. You're watching Seth Lugo do his thing. You're mm-hmm. watching Bobby Witt Jr. What exactly am I now going to be able to take in second half of
it's
the season?
It's going to be a hot dog.
A hot dog. Good start.
Wrapped in a cheeseburger quesadilla, topped with barbecue brisket, fries, lettuce, pickled onion, sriracha cracker jacks, which I don't even know. I've never had those before. And barbecue sauce.
Wait. It's a hot dog wrapped in a
cheeseburger quesadilla.
Right.
Topped with barbecue brisket.
Yeah.
So it's a hot dog quesadilla, barbecue brisket, fries, lettuce, pickled onion, sriracha cracker jacks, and barbecue sauce.
Wow.
You know what it's called?
No. Heart attack?
I think it's trademarked already.
What's it?
It's called the taste of K Taco.
The taste of K Taco. All right. That sounds indulgent. Doesn't sound appetizing when I'm sitting there. It sounds very messy for ballpark food. I'm a simple man. Give me a hot dog. Give me a pretzel. I mean, maybe I'll have like a little steak sandwich. I don't need sushi while I'm watching the Yankees or going out to the Mets or whatever. I also don't need it to be a sloppy mess. Imagine eating that thing on like a 95-degree day, what that would look like. Get the napkins out. By the way, Hoff, can you get Marash in here for a second? Because I've got a bone to pick with him. I'm in the car after the show yesterday, driving over to WPIX, and I hear Marash basically say something on the air that is completely not true.
So, Sean, I texted you about this yesterday, so I got to call you out on this because this is complete and utter nonsense.
What happened?
Well, what happened was, correct me if I'm wrong, yesterday I'm walking through the WFAN newsroom in the 1 o'clock hour.
Uh-huh.
Somebody is eating a Wendy's Frosty, a triple berry Wendy's Frosty, and hands me one.
Yeah. Cinco de Five-O is brought to you by Wendy's.
Now, is that... Was that Tommy Lugauer, or was that Sean Moresh?
It was Sean Moresh.
All right, so it was Sean,
by the way.
Okay, yes. Right, correct. Now, yesterday, when you're doing the wonderful job you were doing with Tiki through the afternoon, did I not hear you say that you don't eat ice cream during the week?
I've given up ice cream and desserts Monday through Friday as part of my dietary plan.
Yeah, but yesterday you were eating ice cream, and yesterday was Wednesday.
Technically, I was eating a Frosty.
That is ice cream.
Well, I mean, it's unknown. It's unidentifiable.
It was delicious.
When you go to Wendy's.
You handed it to me. It was awesome.
It was great. Amazing.
It was absolutely fantastic. I love ice cream. I do.
Moose.
But that was a flat-footed lie.
And I texted you on it. I did a show 2 weeks ago where you basically needed an intervention about how much you loved ice cream. And
I agree with you. You handed it to me. I was like, no. And then I was like, okay.
And our wonderful sales team hands me a secondary Frosty. I could have given that to anybody. And who did I think of?
You thought of me.
And I thought that was going to be on the DL from your wife. And you exposed me?
No, I do. Because you know what? I texted you. And you know what? You have to be honest and open with the audience out there.
No, I don't.
You're telling people you don't eat ice cream during the week when, in fact, I watched you take in and inhale a Frosty yesterday afternoon, and it was a Wednesday.
I was being nice to our sponsor, and it was a great Frosty, and I've thought about this long and hard, and the truth is, have you ever gone into Wendy's and said, give me an ice cream?
No.
You say what?
Give me a Frosty.
Yes, so I didn't have ice cream. I had a Frosty. It's unidentifiable milky mush. And it's delicious. So I still kept my streak alive of no ice cream. Now, I might have also missed a softie at Citi Field last night. But
did you really?
I did.
Who was at Citi Field?
The Foo Fighters for about 45 minutes before they banged it after a storm.
Oh, it was nasty.
Oh, it got nasty, yeah. But, you know, that home run apple still sells.
Now, what happens there? Do you get your money back on that?
Oh, there's a major controversy today, Moose. No. Basically, yeah, you know what?
You had 45 minutes of the Foo Fighters.
It was
an hour, Lightning.
But we had like 8 songs left. Lightning, they never came back on. And essentially, whatever you spent, parking ticket, you're screwed. You're lucky that you got My Hero played.
Wow.
Not a good job.
That's a long night.
More on that at 4 p.m. Eastern today.
Oh, there
you go. Tiki.
Burn it. Did they play the music on the way out?
For them?
Yeah.
No, it was they made everybody stick around for 45 minutes and then canceled.
Now, let me ask Pete and Dove. Did Sean yesterday afternoon, did he technically eat ice cream or no? Dove?
Yes, he ate ice cream.
I ate a Frosty.
Pete is a Frosty.
I like Sean a lot. I want to be on his side. But he did eat it.
And triple berry mousse. It's a fruit serving.
It's delicious. Oh,
yes.
There you go. It's
healthy.
Delicious, by the way.
Healthy.
Sean, thank you for looking out.
Thanks, Moose.
I appreciate
it. We'll see you tomorrow.
You got it. Dove, great job. Hoff, fantastic across the way. You guys on the calls as well. To John Heyman, Nelson Figueroa for joining the program. Have yourself a wonderful Thursday. Enjoy it. Moresh, Tiki, they come your way next. We'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 10 right here, The Fan in New York.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.